KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Jackie Ryle in for Chris Fiorentino. Thanks for joining us this morning. I am so excited to welcome our guests today, Crystal Tiscareno. That's Professor Tiscareno with the dance program, Dance 160S, and former and current students, Diana Tran and Savannah DeAlba. So I'd like to hear about sort of what brought you to dance. I'm going to ask each one of you. So Crystal, how did you get into this? Have you danced since you were a little kid?
Yes, I have been dancing since I was 5 years old. I didn't actually think it would become a career, but I couldn't stay away from it. So I was in communications major. And then I thought, no, I keep dancing all the time. And then I was into interior design major. And I thought, no, I just keep dancing all the time. And then there was the art major. And I'm like, nope, it's still dance. So I should just switch it to dance. I was from Alaska. I moved to Fresno. And I was a student here. So I'm an alum from Fresno State. And this is the program I wanted to be a part of.
Wonderful. And You're an alum. And then you've become a professor.
Yes,
I
know.
An instructor of dance. So Diana Tran, you are a current student of dance. And so I'd like to ask you the same question. Have you been dancing since you were a little kid?
No, I have not been dancing since I was a child. I took dance because of my liberal studies major, and Dance 160S was one of the requirements with other requirements as well. So I chose Dance 160S because it sounded very interesting and entertaining. So I picked this class.
Thank you. Savannah DeAlba, how about for you?
I've been dancing since I was 5 years old. Yeah, I started dancing at a dance studio. And then from there, I went to cheer and dancing in the high school. And then after that, I kind of just stopped. And then once I got into college, for same as Diana, for liberal studies, you have to take a class incorporating the arts. So I chose Dance 160. I was kind of scared because I haven't danced in 5 years. So I was like, oh no, I am going to mess up. I'm not going to do right. But I end up loving this class. This is like probably one of the best classes I took at Fresno State.
So what was it like to come back to dance after you hadn't for a while?
I was really terrified. I was nervous because I was like, I haven't stretched in years. I maybe lost a little bit of things. Maybe I need to figure out like what to do. Once I kind of got in the mood of things, plus it was like not the kind of dance I was thinking. I was thinking more of competition and more competing and also like physical, like mentally, like all the training that I haven't done in years. So once I was seeing that, oh, it's not what I expected to be. It's more fun. It's more integrating with our children in the classroom. It really was an eye opener to me.
Thank you. So Crystal, I'd like to ask you, as the instructor, as the professor, what it's like for you, how big are your classes, and what happens in the classes? There's a service component to it, so maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, so the classes, first of all, it dispels the mystic idea of what dance is. A lot of times people are fearful to take the class because they think, as the girls were saying, it's going to be like technique, like it's ballet, it's modern, it's tap, it's jazz, it's competition. And it's actually playful movement that we all do day to day. So it's very gesturally, it's very hands-on. I make them get on the floor. They work up a sweat. So there's that that goes on. And then my job, I feel, is to teach teachers how to be playful, how to incorporate creative movement, which is dance, in Common Core curriculum. So if I was teaching a math class, how would I use movement and do it through fractions or, you know, groupings? Or if I was doing science, maybe it was the weather patterns and we would use creative movement to incorporate that. So as I'm teaching them through the class, it's so interwoven into service because I'm teaching them how they're going to then go into the community, find a teacher and serve them. They will say, hey, Ms. Smith, I would love to help you with your sight words. So then they would create a lesson that uses creative movement with sight words. And then the teacher takes it and gets to use it, you know, at whatever elementary school. Usually it's elementary schools that they work with, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I love that. So, Diana, what kind of experience have you had along this line? What's happened for you?
Well, I've been working in the after-school program for elementary schools for 4 years now.
Yes.
And I incorporated creative movement into the after school program as well. And I did a service learning with a kindergarten class at my school site that I work at, Vang Pao Elementary. And I did creative movement with them. And the teacher was astonished that creative movement can be incorporated into different lesson plans, different concepts in class, colors, shapes. And we just really like creative movement in the classroom.
Maybe you could describe, like, what the kindergarten kids, what did you use as sort of the design? What were you all doing? What were you telling them they were being or featuring? What did you use as your subject?
We use different creative movement terminology called efforts.
Yes.
And I demonstrated the efforts with the students. There's flicking, like Ms. Crystal said, flicking your hair, flicking your whole body. There's slashing. There's gliding, there's floating. So the students really love these creative movements. They don't think that's dance. They really like moving their bodies, and they don't incorporate the creative movements with dance, because when they think of dance, they feel like they can't do it.
Right.
But when we tell them it's creative movement, they're able to do the movements and they don't feel ashamed or embarrassed of doing them.
So they're really responsive. They all get into it.
Yes, that's correct. They are very amused and entertained, and they get engaged into the creative movement.
And you've been doing this for 4 years. Is that pretty consistent across the board? And have they all been kindergartners, or have you have been with various ages?
Oh, for the after-school program, I've been doing it for 4 years. But for creative movement, I've only been doing it for a year in Ms. Crystal's class. So I learned through Dance 160S that there's creative movement that we can incorporate into our classrooms. So that's how I incorporate creative movement into the after-school program as well.
Ah.
And they really learn by doing that. They learn by using their bodies, and it's a fun and entertaining way for them to learn the concepts, and they memorize and retain the information more.
Great. Savannah, how about for you? What's been your experience?
Well, I've been basically in the teaching field for a long time. My grandma's a teacher, my mom's a teacher, and she actually graduated from Fresno State with her master's in counseling. So I've been in the classroom, volunteering, working since I was a little girl, and that's when I kind of knew I wanted to become a teacher. I just didn't know that you could incorporate dancing while teaching, also hitting your learning objectives. So for me, that was a huge learning opportunity when I saw that I could not only use what I love in the classroom, but help the kids make learning fun. They are sitting down in the classroom a lot of the majority of the time that they're in there. And, you know, as an adult too, I can't sit in those 2-hour lectures sometimes because I'm like, wow, this is a lot of information we're processing. So I have done kindergarten, first and fourth grade. So I have seen the different levels within the kids and how it incorporates them, how excited they are to learn. I've noticed for my first graders, it was more as words. So we worked on alphabets. How can you use high, medium, and low levels while spelling out a letter as the or they? And so they incorporated by they have a dice, and I had them flip the dice upside down, and each one of the kids had a turn, and they had to get points. So they were seeing like what the word was, the other team. So it's really fun. It incorporates the kids. It also lets them understand that learning is fun, and not just that, but working together as a team. Because my experience in the classrooms, I have noticed a lot of kids are very competitive and they want to be right all the time. And so by doing this, it kind of like forgets their motive, like, oh, well, we have to win. It's more like, let's work together as a team. And you see that really effective while they're doing these lessons.
There is so much more to this than anyone would ever realize.
Yes.
Isn't there? Crystal, what happens when people first come into your class? Entering students, what might they expect day one and then going forward?
First of all, you're actually really, I think, nervous. And I have a really kind of like pow in your face, high energy and overwhelming a little bit at first because I hoot and holler and I make them crawl and they're like crawling around like bugs and snakes and, you know, flicking around like, you know, those floating flick people. I don't know. They're the air people, I call them, and they flick around on the streets. I'm like, you're going to be that today. And so I think I really just inundate them with excitement and getting them engaged and making them realize that you can move. I mean, they're all abilities, all ages, all levels can move. And I have to dispel this fearful thought process that goes through your mind when you think of dance. So I'm just glad that now finally the Dance 160 class is getting a reputation of being, you know, you can do this. It's fun and it's not what you think. It's not like we're going to get in there and do pliés. And I mean, yeah, you're going to bend your knees and crawl around on the ground and be crazy. And a lot of shy kids, I think teachers in particular, come in and they realize how capable they are, how much fun learning can be, the educational process. I'm really repetitive about the lesson pattern that they have to do. I always joke about it, like if you're in the Disneyland line, which is really long, you're the person who can entertain all those kids that are in the line with a cognitive lesson plan that you can just come up with in the second. So it's about spontaneity. It's about just empowering themselves to be fun, creative, structured teachers that think outside the box in a creative movement way. And I think that they leave the class totally shocked because I think I'm like a very unconventional teacher. But I do feel they gain a lot by the time they get done. And I force them to, of course, reach out of the nucleus of the school and go to another school and ask to work for them for free and meet with them, engage in a professional way, and then hopefully knock the socks off of teachers that are already out there teaching with new ideas.
So I want to ask both students what it was like when you first went in. I'd love to hear your description about it. So what was it like for you the first time you went into Miss Crystal's class? And Diana, start. What was it like for you that first time?
The first time Miss Crystal taught her lesson, I thought, this is crazy. We have to go on the ground and do these different body movements. And we have to do a bear crawl on the floor. And I'm like, this is crazy. I can't do this every day. But I learned to love the creative movements that Miss Crystal taught in class. It relaxes the body and the mind as well. I felt very relaxed after doing the creative movement. And it's very fun and engaging and entertaining for the whole class. After doing the body movements and doing it with everybody in class, I felt more of a family. Like everybody just knows each other and just does the weird, fun, creative movements together. And we just laugh about it.
I love it. The family that moves together stays together. It's a new. So how about for you, Savannah? What was it like for you the first time you went in?
The first time I went in, I was nervous, like I said, because I haven't danced in 5 years. So I was thinking, oh, it's more techniques. I don't know how if I could hold my leg for so long, toe touch. I was like really kind of freaked out. And then it was 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30. I never forget walking in, and Crystal had this powerful energy that I just adore because she really set the tone for the whole class. It was like, this is how you should be. Let's be fun. Let's be loud. Get out of that mode where you're kind of strict most of the time. Like have that, I don't know, how would you say that personality? But you would really like open up to your students. And what we learn is that we learn how to work together. We learn that not only that you could dance, but you could also incorporate your English, your math, your science, your history lessons all in dancing. Which was really unique for me to see that because, like I said, I've always thought dancing was just to dance to compete, but I never thought of it more as a creative and art form that I do now.
Thank you. So I want to follow up on that with you, Crystal. This incorporation into the other disciplines, talk a little bit about how that works, how you actually do that or how you describe that and then have them actualize it.
So I teach them all how to, first of all, you have to look up the California State Dance Standards and you have to know your target. So if I'm working with kindergartens, I would go into California Dance Standards and it'll show up. You go in through, you'll look at your kindergartners and it'll tell you what are the expectations in dance for a kindergartner. So that's your point. And then you'd say, what do I want? What's my goal for? Okay, so that's the California State Dance Standard.
What might those be? Before you go on, I don't want to interrupt, but what do those standards constitute? What is that?
So these are expectations that a kindergartner should be achieving. What the students should be achieving, they are standards that creatively are like blocks. You're trying to get them to be there.
The other ones would be shapes. So working with shapes, numbers, so they could go on the ground, create it high, medium, and low. So you're also dealing with floor patterns, pathways that we've learned. So they're learning spirals, straight lines, zigzag. And that's also important too, because it's so funny because at recess, you actually see the kids working with them. So instead of going into a straight line, they look at, oh, Miss D'Alba, look, we're going into a curvy line. So it sticks with them. And so you incorporate it with that. You're also teaching them how to interact with each other because in kindergarten, that is very important for them to understanding how to socialize within each other.
Thank you. So good. So there are certain standards at different levels, and that helps to have an understanding of those. So then where do you go from there?
So from there, they've learned concepts in class, which would be levels, floor pathways, air pathways, shapes. We have axial movement, locomotor movement, and then we tie that all in to what's expected in California State Dance Standards and Common Core goals. So if maybe, let's say, a student, we want to work with kindergartners, we're going to work with sight words, and we're going to do learning how to spell the word cat. So that's your goal. You want to create shapes with their body. So first you might start with development phase one would be, I'm going to get these kindergartners to explore shapes with their own hands and their own bodies. It's wonderful. Now, can you partner up? Let's do two-letter sight words, like two, and you would partner with somebody. I'll be the O, you be the R, and we make those shapes. And then other people in your classroom would look at this and be like, oh, you know, the kids are like, I see or, oh, they did the word two. And then you would maybe break into groups of three. Can you make this, as a teacher, I'd say, hey, as a development three, I want you and partners of three, you're going to do sight words that are three letters in them, and you need to do one letter, one word that's on the floor, low level, and then one that's high. And we've even had teachers put tape on the floor where it's like the lowercase and uppercase. So it'd be straight line, dotted line, straight line, and your bodies are in it so that they can be, this is a capital A laying down, and this is a little A, and this is an, you know, R or E. So they're creating letters, sight words, and that's their whole goal, to work with sight words, to work with shapes and levels, and then incorporate it into a lesson plan. And they do them all the time. And the students in the class have to practice with each other before they go out into the school. And then we're very collective. So I break them up to half a class. Savannah would teach the class. And then the classmates give her feedback. And they'll say, oh, I don't know. You know, for kindergartners, you weren't very clear in this explanation. Can you make this clearer? Or they're really good at saying, you know, they're third graders. You can probably make it more challenging. So the classmates start teaching each other and preparing them for when they go out into the field and teach with the real teachers. So that's kind of how a lesson plan lays out.
Yes.
And we practice a lot.
Yes. So, Diana, is there an element of this that you particularly enjoy, or has there been an example or a story that you particularly have enjoyed?
I enjoy doing the body movements with the students at my service learning site. Well, I like doing it in class as well, but it's not the same experience as doing it with the school site with actual students. It's more fun doing it with the students because you get actual feedback from them, and you can take that with you as a teacher in the future as well, and how you go about teaching creative movement in the class. So I did it with a kindergarten class, and the students really enjoy doing the creative movement, and they learn a lot by doing the creative movements. They learned numbers, colors, shapes, and it's just a fun way for them to learn.
That's great. Who knew? How about for you, Savannah? What have you particularly enjoyed? Is there a story or a particular piece of it that you particularly enjoy?
Yes, I would say is when we got to create our own music, our instruments. That was a huge thing for me because I know as a teacher and my family being teachers, sometimes you can't afford all the nice things that you want in your classroom. So being able to create your own music instruments, but I have my concentration in music and the arts. So it was really, really nice to see that you get to drag your kids also in that art form and let them play with it. Let them know that we might not have all the materials in our classroom, but we can make it by using a water bottle and beans. So we learn how the beats and rhythms, we learn how to count. And my fourth graders and my kindergartners, and that was a jump from kindergarten to fourth grade, they all enjoy it. For instance, my kindergartners make animals. So they got to make it with a paper plate and they put the beans inside of it and they got to create their animals outside. So our lesson was science and it was dealing with animals, and they had to write afterwards their sentence. What did they like about that lesson? For my older kids, tying it with history, we did instruments with California State Standards within the missions. So they had to do the instruments when the Indians and when they came into California with the mission. And so that was really interesting to see, because there was some that were way out of my, I mean, these kids even decorated, they went all out. And I was like, mine was just a water bottle. You guys did such a great job. I can't believe this. So We had really so much fun doing this project. And then open house, the parents get to see all this stuff that they did at home and also in the classroom for those students that couldn't afford it. Also, we would supply those materials for them.
You know, this is great. I'm ready to sign up. I'm a little past kindergarten or fourth grade, but what a lot of fun. So, Crystal, would you describe the structure and the service component, how the service component of this works?
Yes. So when the kids come into the class, they are very aware, the students, that they have about 20 hours that they're going to do in the service learning. This includes what we work on in class. It includes them doing like, oh, my goodness, my teacher outside of class wants me to do weather patterns. So maybe you're doing that type of research because you don't remember weather patterns and you're going to be doing a lesson on it. And also the time that they spend orientation with their teacher. They come in typically right now. I mean, we could do, I have organizations, like I also funnel students into Break the Barriers. I have contacts there. So they go there and work with their little children or their buddy program. What's most successful right now is forcing the students to go out into the community and find a school and then a teacher that they're going to work with. And this puts their foot in the door. It allows them to make contacts and figure out if teaching really is what they want to do. You're going through all the book smarts of it all. You're learning how to teach, but you actually haven't had that hands-on experience. And this is very, I feel, an opportunity for them for the service learning. Because it is a learning component classroom, this service becomes more supported and it's natural. And I think it's making a difference. This is like our sixth year doing it, which means that's about 30 to 60 students a semester going out into the community and we're finding a teacher, going into their classroom, finding out what is the need that teacher has. And sometimes the teachers are very clear about it. Other times the people who are already teaching in the field have no idea what the Creative Movement kids can offer. So they then say, hey, I notice you're teaching fractions. Can I do a Creative Movement lesson that supports what you're doing in the classroom? And then you can have it. And that in there is the service. And also teaching our community in our educational field that's already out there, that it's not that hard to tie in Creative Movement or the arts, period, in your Common Core. We're so inundated with testing, that I think that part of me, who's a kid at heart, I feel like you're, you know, suffocating that spirit of learning, which is creative. It's not all about testing, even though I think that's all good, but you got to go both ways.
The multiple layers of this are so rich. And I think that without some exposure, and I hope a lot of people are listening to us, that without some exposure and a little bit of understanding, and it seems obvious on the face of it, at the same time, it's not. And to have it structured this way and to have it intentional is really important. Have you gotten feedback from any of your sites, such as Break the Barriers, of the value add? Have you gotten some feedback?
Yeah, Alyssa Garvin is the dance director over there. And she's always, give me more of your students, right? Just at, like at Break the Barriers, you fall in love with where you are and you realize that, oh, this is all ages, all abilities. Also, Creative Movement falls in that category. So it's a great partnership over there. She enjoys the students. Oftentimes when I send students over there, they end up sometimes employed. Like they start working with the children at Break the Barriers. And same thing with the school site. So the teachers go there. They started maybe like Diana's in like the after school program, but now she's working in the school. And so she puts her foot in the door as an applicant. They're like, yeah, we know her. So it's bigger chances for them for job opportunities. And I think it's a win-win situation for the students when they get involved in the Creative Movement for Children class.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're almost out of time. Just a quick, have you had some good feedback, Diana, from teachers when you've gone in?
Yes, I've had feedback from my kindergarten teacher that I've worked with and some third and fourth grade teachers. And they really like the Creative Movement that you can incorporate into the concepts. And they have a different perspective on teaching their lesson now because they can incorporate Creative Movement into their lessons and it'll create a fun, engaging way for students to learn and retain the information and memorize it for the tests.
Thank you. And in 1 minute, you've probably had also good, positive feedback.
Yes, I also have, like Diana said, a lot of those teachers ask us, how can you come in our classroom and make more activities? And not just our service learning teachers, but I have had teachers from other classes that I didn't even go into asking if I could come in and do the same lesson. So it just really brings out the best in all of us.
I love that. That's a great conclusion. I want to say thank you to Professor Crystal Tiscareno and current student Diana Tran and former student, but out there teaching now, Savannah D'Alba, thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today. Wonderful program. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thank you so much.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.